Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians. We will be covering the first two verses and titling this simply, Introducing Colossae. The Word of God is amazingly packed with so much for the careful Bible student. And in this introductory study, we'll introduce Paul with a short read of his testimony in Acts. Then we'll be reacquainted with Timothy. And then we'll introduce the city of Colossae with its amazing parallels to Laodicea and to America. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, titled Introducing Colossae. This is part 1 of 2.
All right. We are going to begin our study of the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Some of you may want to make note that an epistle is not a wife of an apostle. An epistle is a letter, and this is an epistle of Paul, the apostle. We're just going to get into verses 1 and 2 this morning. Colossians chapter 1 and 2. Fittingly referring to our study as Introducing Colossae. In our opening study, we will be greeted by Paul and Timothy and then introduced to the city of Colossae. And I did a little background, just curious where that name come from. And there's one source that said the destroyed city, another said the great mound, and that sounded corny to me because we'll see that happened, but you wouldn't name your city that ahead of time. So why would you call your, it's like, you know, San Francisco eventually is going to get dumped in the ocean, but you're not going to name it that, you know, the city dumped in the ocean, California. Before it happens. And so what I did find is it. What I first see when I see the word Colossians is like the word colossal. And what that word originally was used to describe huge idols. And this city was a very idolatrous city. So I think you know, some people say, well, you think you're smarter than these scholars? Yes, I do. I see a lot of those so-called scholars come up with some of the dumbest stuff. You watch History Channel and you'll realize what I mean.
Oh, man, I watch that channel.
Those so-called scholars on there, especially when they start talking about the aliens. But so I think that Colossus was named after the huge idols that were found in that city. And we'll see a little bit of that as we study in Colossians. They had a real problem with that. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. Read it with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Sean, can I make sure that this is working on there because I had to unplug it for a second to fix it?
All right.
All right. All right. Just want to make sure. All right. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a good group here this morning. And we get this good weather. It's always tempting to skip out of church and go out on the lake or something. And we just pray that if anyone's doing that, to get sunburned. But we thank you for everyone who is here. And we thank you for those who love the Word of God and want to learn it. And Lord, this just such a privilege that we do take for granted, even when we say we're thankful. It's not enough. But we're going to praise you forever, for all of eternity, for your goodness. And so we just thank you as best we can here and now, and ask for your help as the Holy Spirit is our guide and teacher of the very book the Holy Spirit gave us. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Jenny, I moved this a little bit. Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I had it kind of this way Wednesday, and it was like looking at the sun. Of course, I normally, there is a glow about me. But it's usually from my forehead. So, verse 1 begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And we've looked closely at Paul's apostleship in our other studies, and that's a reminder. And this isn't just to people who may see this online or hear it on the radio, it's to you. If you're on the internet and you have missed some of our past studies, or if you have a friend, or you can go to the library, you can download these. Put them on a little stick and then put them on your computer. And a lot of the DVD players today, I do this. I download stuff and then watch it on TV. And if you have a smart TV and you've got Wi-Fi, you can just cast it to your TV, whatever. We're on Roku and all those. But go to bbfohio.com. And you can pick the book that you may have missed in the past, or just a study you missed, and catch it there, and you'll see what I mean when I say that we've talked about the Apostle Paul in past studies a number of times. We actually did a couple of studies on what it means to be an apostle. Those are important studies. To be an apostle, you had to be a Jew. You had to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You had to witness the resurrected Jesus. You had to be chosen by him. And today there are no apostles. And so today you have people calling themselves apostle because they want you to think highly of them. So today I can say pretty safely, if anybody says I'm an apostle, it's because they have a complex. And that's the attitude of a lot of preachers, even that don't call themselves apostle. They want you to think, I'm the man. I am the guru. Come to me for all knowledge. And offerings are appreciated. But what a Bible-based, Bible-believing, God-called preacher is today is a sinner saved by grace who wants to help you, number one, to be saved, and number two, to learn this book. Because from that point, it's just between you and God's Spirit. Amen. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. So by me or any sound teacher helping you to understand the Bible, it helps you then to walk daily with the Lord. And you have to walk daily by reading His Bible daily, praying daily and throughout the day, and talking to others about Jesus, and so forth and so on, and what have you. So as a reminder, let's go to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And a lot of times, if you want introductions or commentaries even on the Bible, you can find things like this in Acts 22. Paul, we're told about how Paul got here, because, you know, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you won't find Paul in there. So then you have to have the book of Acts in order to understand, why are we reading these letters by a guy named Paul? And thankfully, now if you read from Acts 9 through 21, you read a lot more in-depth information about Paul from the time he was saved and on. But here we get Paul himself recounting this whole thing. It says in verse 1, my brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make known unto you. He's already arrested. He's already basically imprisoned and being transported to Rome. And he's making a defense and says, "And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith," so he's talking to the Jews in Hebrew. And it's something you have to understand as you read through really the entire New Testament, is there's this strange situation where the Jews do rule, but they rule under the authority and watch guard of the Romans. And so the Jews, if they found somebody guilty of something that deserved death, they would go to the Romans. But as we studied on in our Daniel studies, that only happened for a short time, and it happened only from about the time Jesus was a toddler to the time right after Jesus ascended to heaven. All the time before that, they could stone people to death. All the time after Jesus ascended, if you broke the law, the Jews could stone people to death. Isn't that something? It's just a coincidence that during the time that Jesus was alive, they couldn't stone him to death. That forced them to go to the Romans, who would pierce him, fulfilling Bible prophecy. Amen. Now, some of you may have to chew on that a little while to understand what I'm talking about. That's an amazing fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. That we saw back in Genesis when Jacob prophesied and said that the scepter would not depart. The scepter is the right to execute someone. That would not depart until Shiloh come. Shiloh is a reference to Jesus. And just when Shiloh comes, the scepter departs for just a little while. Isn't that, it's just amazing. On and on that goes. So, verse 3, Paul began speaking. And we're going to see what Paul tells us about himself. He says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew." I'm going to stop there because today, you know, there are people who are out there saying that Christianity is a white man's religion, and Jesus wasn't a Jew, and Paul wasn't really a Jew. If you don't know it's out there, I'm just telling you it is. And I just always point them to these texts where Paul says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew." They'll say Paul wasn't a Jew because what some of them say is it's only those from Judah. If you weren't from the tribe of Judah, you're not a Jew. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin, and he says, "I am verily a man which am a" what?
Jew.
Jew. "Born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught" — that's your pronunciation, not mine — "and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers." That's talking about the Mosaic law. "And was" what? "Zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." He was zealous toward God and still lost. You think about that. And I see it's sad today, but someone, just because they say, "Oh, I love God, I go to church," that means nothing. You're a sinner. You have to have your sins forgiven. You must be washed by the blood of the Lamb. That happens by faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. And there are many people today. I told Jenny last night, she went to bed at her normal bedtime hours. She's been staying up past 9 a lot lately. But yeah. But last night, you don't have that excuse this morning. You went to bed around 9 last night. And so she's just cranky for no reason today. But so I watched this movie called San Francisco. You ever seen that? I'd never seen it. It's a Clark Gable movie. Janet McDonald, I think is her name, or is it Jeanette? Jeanette McDonald. And it was, for Hollywood standards, it's actually a pretty good movie. It's moral and all that, you know. Clark Gable is a godless womanizer who's running an illegal operation. And is a spoiler alert, but the point of the movie is that it, as it comes to the end, the San Francisco quake happens, and the special effects are pretty impressive for like 1930 something. And as it comes to the end, he begins to see his need to acknowledge God. But now, again, for a Hollywood movie, you're like, wow, that's pretty neat. But there's no mention of Jesus. And no mention of his sin. And no mention of his need to be born again. So what you have in that movie is a good moral movie, but if that's all you got, you're still going to hell. In a handbasket. And so was Paul. Paul was zealous toward God. And look, he even includes all, he says, as ye all are this day. The people he's talking to. He says in verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto the death. Did you know this about Paul? Some people, they surprised to find out that Paul was what he was before he got saved. It says, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. I meet people who have only known me since I was saved, and they think I was raised in a monastery. And they're surprised to find out that, well, I was a pretty bad sinner and pretty wicked for a while. And most people have that kind of testimony, it seems, these days. But there are some people who weren't bad people. Never got into, well, Johnny and Jenny, you've never been on heroin, have you? Yeah, never getting picked up for solicitation or selling dope on the street or anything like that. But you know what they knew? Is even though they were pretty good kids, they knew they needed saved. They didn't say, well, that's born again stuff's for the bad people. I've been a good kid. I think God likes me. Well, he likes you well enough, he'll save you if you'll repent. But that's how people are. It says in verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness. So Paul's saying, I have witnesses to the fact I was a pretty bad character. And all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them, look at this, to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. That's our apostle Paul. Picture him walking behind a bunch of Christians tied up and walking a death march to Jerusalem. If they profess that Jesus is God in the flesh, they're convicted of blasphemy and stoned to death. Well, that's why they tried to stone Jesus when he was before he was crucified. And they picked up stones like they were going to stone him. And the text doesn't really say exactly, but I think they wanted to, but they couldn't. They knew it would be illegal. They knew they'd die. They would have been crucified by the Roman government, so they didn't do it. But that's why they were going to stone Jesus, because he claimed he made himself equal with God. Amen. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. This is how Paul gets saved. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And that tells you, whenever you're persecuted, don't take it personally. They're not after you, they're after Jesus. And it says in verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. It's interesting. Verse 10, and I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, see that? Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. Saul had not been baptized. Saul had not become a church member. Saul hadn't even given an offering yet. And he's being received as Brother Saul. That tells you that anybody who teaches you're saved by being baptized is a heretic. Anybody who says you're saved by being a church member is a heretic. Anybody says that you received Jesus, like the Catholics do, they claim that you received Jesus at the Eucharist. He hadn't received the Eucharist at this point. And he's Brother Saul. Verse 14, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now I've got to stop there. He wasn't a victim of irresistible grace here. He could have said no. But you see, God is pretty smart. God knows the hearts of men. And God knew that this Saul was sincerely acting on his zealousness for God. And so he knew if he visited Paul, that Paul would believe and would do what he's asked to do. If not, he would have chosen somebody else. He didn't force Paul, but he knew what Paul would do because God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. And see, the Calvinists would say that God's really not omniscient. They can't say that because what they teach is that God is the all-powerful computer developer, programmer. And God has programmed everything. Everyone's doing what God has programmed him to do. So God's not omniscient. The Calvinist God is not really the biblical God in that definition. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying that they pervert the meaning of the Word of God. They pervert the character of God, and they pervert what it means to be omniscient. Amen. Omniscient means all-knowing. Amen. Not a computer developer who developed everything and programmed everybody to who's going to be saved and who's not. I'm going to save these people. To hell with you. That's Calvinist theology. Says verse 16, And now why tarriest thou? I love that. That's the way when you get saved, you don't have to get a degree to go out and preach the gospel. Amen. And it says, Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Now, I'll come back to that in a second. Calling on the name of the Lord. We already saw his brother Saul. So when it says, Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, that's taken for granted. You understand that that is picturing. He's telling him to picture what has happened to him in his baptism. So when someone gets into that water, a few of you have been dunked here recently here. Olivia, we had her recently, and Janie, and Dorian back there. I try to name off everybody, but I'm not sure exactly because my memory fails me. But when we put you in the water, that is what they did with Jesus. They buried him. And when you come up out of the water, you're declaring that you have been washed by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and your sins are forgiven. And so that's what he's saying here to Paul in verse 18. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And notice he didn't put himself into a trance. Verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. In verse 19, And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when, watch this, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. If you go back to Acts 7, you'll see at the end there that they threw their coats at Paul's feet. He was basically the legal authority on behalf of the people of Israel consenting to the death of Stephen when he was stoned to death. They couldn't have done that before the ascension of Jesus. And it says, verse 21, "And he said unto me, Depart." Read verse 21 with me. "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." That's you. That's really what knowing Paul is, to know that God saved him and called him to become his mouthpiece and his really author, although he dictated a lot of these letters, the author of the epistles that would be for the Gentile bride. There's a remnant of Jews who believe, but by and large, the church is made up of Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you don't have Jew DNA in you, then you are one of them. I am one of them. How many of you have done the DNA thing? Yeah, there's several. Ancestry and 23 match and all that. A few of you? Yeah, see, I did it. I wanted to know. I'd been told growing up that I had Cherokee in me. And I found out I have no more Cherokee in me than does Elizabeth Warren. Me and Pocahontas. I found out that I'm about three quarters English. God save the Queen. And then about the rest of me is Western European, which is probably Spain, from what I'm finding out. And so it's funny because I'm actually more white than Adolf Hitler. Because they claim that he had some Jew in him. And I love to bring that up when I'm fighting with the Nazis and the white supremacists and people like that. Huh? Yeah. Oh, they hate that. That's a lie. That's a lie. Jewish propaganda. The Jews control the media. They come up with that. You know, that's what they say. But Paul came for me. God picked Paul to be the apostle for me. And if you're not a Jew, then he's your apostle. Amen? It doesn't. Now, I got to say, there's hyper-dispensationalism out there, and they'll tell you that you don't read anything but Paul's epistles, and even some of those were written before the mystery was revealed, and so you end up with a Bible that's about one-tenth the size of what you should have. No, all Scripture's given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. If the hyper-dispensationalists are right, then 2 Timothy 3:16 should be thrown out of the Bible. But, as I've been teaching in our Exodus studies, I've been teaching office studies on the book of Exodus, and I emphasize that it's not all written to us. It's all written for us. But when you read a book of the Bible, and you go over to James, you don't have to turn there, but as you're reading through your Bible and you get done with Hebrews, you come to James. James says, chapter 1, verse 1, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered..."
The solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.